Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. On this show, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections between you, your loved ones, your family, friends, business, community power, your higher power. We give you the secret power to create a life you love. I love the life you create. So on today's topic, we're talking about intimacy, and we're talking about today we're doing a very, very special talk on sexual intimacy and finding the time for it. And today, guess what, guys? I have some experts, not just regular people, the people that are experts at this, and they're experts at the topic, of course, but they're also experts on doing this, you know, podcasting and the shows and stuff. And they have a very successful podcast, which is called One Extraordinary Marriage. The experts are Tony and Elisa DeLorenzo. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, yes. Well, as you people may not know, they're the co-host of the number one podcast, which I just mentioned, of One Extraordinary Marriage. And they've been speaking for over 10 years. They actually were celebrating an anniversary recently about their podcast. And they talk about sex, love, commitment, challenges on listening to each other. But their main thing is marriages. That's what they're focused on. Making sure marriage is priority and how to create the extraordinary marriage. So as we pick their brains, which is what I'm going to do.
Yes. Good.
To hear about their history and how they help couples, and for you to learn more about them. So, yeah. So the first thing all of us want to know was, tell us how you guys met.
Oh, my goodness.
25 years ago now, we met. Yep, at the University of Colorado at Boulder. I was had just turned 21, mm-hmm. and it was the summer of 1994. So I was part of a fraternity, and our fraternity house we rented out to a program on campus. Mm-hmm. And that summer, Elisa was part of that program.
Yeah, it was a science internship program.
And that's so, science. Yes.
And so I was doing a neuropsych internship at the University of Colorado Boulder the summer before my senior year in college. And
so you fall in love with an older guy.
Yes. I was 19 when I met. I turned 20 2 weeks later, and yes, he was a whole year older. But that was the beginning, you know, and it was really just supposed to be a summer fling for the two of us. But we found ourselves at the end of that summer when I was going back to DePaul University in Indiana, where we knew that there was something more, but we weren't really sure about how the whole long distance thing was going to work.
Right.
Because we were pre-cell phone, pre-email, like this was .edus and, you know, black and white on the computer lab. And yet we made it work. And, you know, through a lot of heartache and whatnot, we, you know, we're here 25 years later.
Yeah.
Wow. A summer fling, a long distance relationship, all the things people are like, oh my gosh. And then it turns into an extraordinary marriage.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff in between.
A lot of stuff, but yes, that is definitely it.
Okay. Yeah. And so, and it's all this other stuff. How did all this other stuff and you guys creating a business, how did this all decide, hey, this is what we want to do, helping other couples?
Yeah, well, it never started out as, hey, we're starting something as a sense of a business.
Of course, yes.
We started podcasting 10 years ago.
Right.
And really the reason we started was because we had a massive transformation in our own marriage. At 11 years in, we were looking at divorce for the second time. And it was at that moment where we have three options. It was either A, you know, we're going to just hang out until the kids turn 18 and get divorced after they leave the house. B, we're going to just get divorced now and let's just move on with our lives because we're not compatible. This isn't working out. Or C, we're going to get radical. And at that point, we decided to get radical. And we did our first ever sex challenge, which was 60 days of sex. And over that course of 60 days, we had sex for 40 times.
Wow.
And we fell in love with each other again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't only because we were having sex. It's like we actually began to fall in love with one another like we were when we had met in 1994. We were having conversations. We were giddy. We were excited about being around each other and wanting to be with each other. And so that was there in that start, which then led to, okay, what do we do next? And it came out that we were just working with some folks and blogging was big, but gosh, writing is hard when you don't know what really you're going to write about.
Right.
And so we did hire a coach and he's the one who shared podcasting with us. And
okay.
Like, okay, this is just going to be a hobby and we're going to just have fun and start from there. And that's where it grew from.
Mm-hmm. Now we've recorded over 550 shows in the last 10 years. And so what started as, you know, maybe 5 or 10 has literally grown into a movement of couples that are excited about marriage all around the world.
Yep.
Awesome. Yes. So going back a little, you said you were at this point where you were thinking about divorce, and that happens for a lot of couples. I see a lot of people contact me. Yeah. And many of them think of the, well, let's just stay married to the kids. I mean, that's a selection many choose. What made you guys not select those other two selections that you were talking about? You know, just getting divorced or stay together till, you know, kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. What made you not decide to do those? What was that? Like, I'm going to go and do something radical. What was that?
Our kids were 2 and 5 at this point.
So they were very young. Yeah.
They were very young. Like when we talked about sticking it out till the kid, we were looking at a good 16 years.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of it. I don't think either one of us wanted to be miserable for another 16 years.
Right.
And we also both come from intact families. So divorce, even though we'd entertained it and it's seriously to the point where, you know, the first time around we were looking up in the yellow pages. I was looking in the yellow pages for a divorce attorney. Didn't want that to be our legacy. That wasn't the legacy that had been passed on. And so we are both just stubborn enough that we're like, we've got to find a different way. And so if we weren't going to be miserable, then we both had to make a choice that we were going to do something different. And Tony is actually the one that came up with doing the idea of the 60 days of sex challenge.
And did you think he was crazy?
I totally thought he was crazy.
She said no. She totally said no the first time.
Yeah. I'm like, no, and I'm going to go put on a facial mask so you don't think you're having any sex now either.
Yes.
But it was really one of those things where the next day I was like, wait a minute. This isn't crazy. My husband just wants to have sex with me. Like in the overall scheme of things, he's not asking me to chop off a leg. He's not asking me to give up the kids. He just wants to be close to me.
He just wants you.
He wants me. And why is that such a crazy, awful idea? And so he came home from work and I said, let's do this. And so we made a decision that, you know what, we're going to do something different because we want a different outcome. We don't want to be like everybody else. We don't want to just throw up our hands and say, you know what, well, we're just, you know, irreconcilable differences, or we're just not compatible, or I fell out of love. We've seen it in our own marriage and we've seen it in countless marriages in the one family. You can create change.
Right.
It just takes action instead of waiting for your feelings to change.
Right. Yeah. And so in that process, were you guys working or just?
I was running another business.
Okay.
Elisa was a stay-at-home mom at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Had left
and
work
had two
after
kids, so was busy.
Right.
Oh yeah, we were running around, and it wasn't like, oh my goodness, we had the perfect life when we were just hanging out on the beach here in San Diego. I mean, we have responsibilities, and I took that seriously. My business was younger. My business at that point in time was about 4 years old. So we were still trying to gain some traction. And then the Great Recession hit. And so we had to deal with that. So yeah, we were just like any other couple who's going through life. And yet I realized Elisa and I didn't want to just throw in the towel without giving it everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
And doing, doing the 60 days of sex challenge, it just shifted us to a point where we were like, you know what? Was it all perfect? No. Even doing the 60 days of sex challenge was a challenge. There's a challenge right. within the challenge. And yet when we came out of it, we were more in love. We realized that there was still that spark between us. We mm-hmm. had to go digging for it, though. We had to go find it. The feelings aren't going to just show up and have butterflies when I first met her, you know, right. 1994. I had to move so those butterflies would come back, or that those feelings mm-hmm. of desire and love were there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So for a couple of you two who seem very connected, and this show is about intimacy, what does intimacy mean to you guys?
You know, intimacy is a word that, you know, for us, it's really all about connection and closeness, but we don't just define that in our marriage in terms of like the sexual intimacy, which right. I think a lot of couples, you know, like they hear that word intimacy and they're like sex.
Yep.
Right.
It's something that we run into a lot. It's looking at what are all the different areas in your relationship, in your marriage, where you can be close. And we define it as the emotional intimacy, which is, you know, what are those conversations? How are you being vulnerable? Mm-hmm. We talk about financial intimacy, right? Like there's that whole money thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There is that. And are we taking off the masks with the money? We talk about recreational intimacy. What are you two doing together? You know, couples don't stay in love if they're not doing life together. It doesn't mean 24/7. It means what are those things that you and I like to do? What are those things I'm willing to do with you?
Mm-hmm. Or I'm willing to do with Elisa, even if it's something that, you know, isn't on the top of my list. And yet we want to do together. Mm-hmm.
We also talk about spiritual intimacy.
Right, exactly.
What does that look like spiritually with faith? How do you share that with one another? And then we do talk about physical and sexual intimacy. You know, our bodies were designed for touch. We were designed to be sexually intimate with our spouses. And so what does that look like? And so we actually take a really holistic approach to intimacy, to creating closeness and connection in our own marriage.
Yeah, wonderful. Exactly. Yes. And we were really born touching and being involved with someone. I mean, as babies, that's mm-hmm. how we're, yeah. So of course, yes. intimacy is just, yeah, it's more than just sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yes. It is, because that's one thing that we learned through the 60 days of sex challenge. Mm-hmm. And then since then we've done 7 days mm-hmm. of sex challenges mm-hmm. and we've completed a 30-day sex challenge. And so we've done a lot of challenges.
Yes.
One of the things that we really have learned over the years is the emotional intimacy, being able to have open, honest, and transparent conversation with one another, you know, about what's happening sexually and other areas of our lives allows us to be closer together. And we've gone through this enough in our lives to know when we're not emotionally connected, the sexual intimacy tends to be, you know, quickies, like let's right. just have the sex, let's just roll. We want that connection, and yet it's not truly what we're desiring. So we sort of have to, we go through these waves and roller coasters of, hey, where are we at and what are we doing in each one?
Right, exactly. Yes. And I'm just thrown away by all the challenges you guys have done over the years. Yes.
They're
yes,
fun.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad, as you mentioned, intimacy over the years has, like you said, has developed. And the emotional part is really, really important and connecting and even talking about sex mm-hmm. is having that emotional connection.
Yep.
Correct. Correct. Because a lot of folks, and we run into this often, were never, you know, most families don't talk about sex. Mm-hmm. Like it just, you know, or if anybody talks about sex, it's just don't have sex. Like that's
right.
And then we get married and we're supposed to be able to have these conversations or we need to talk about it, but nobody has talked about it. Nobody has normalized it. And that's what we do every week behind the microphones. We're like, how can we normalize this so people can have breakthrough in that area of their marriage?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yes. And you've definitely normalized it. And since you talked about the 60-day of challenge. Yes. And so we would love to hear more about how can you have 60 days of sex when you're busy and you got 2 kids and mm-hmm. businesses yes. and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to take a short break, but after that, we're going to figure out how do they schedule sex? Because that's just like, wow. Many people can't schedule a variety of things for 60 days. So scheduling sex, yes. So in this break here, I want to talk to our audiences about a new concept that we're doing here with Dr. with myself and some other counselors here in Southwest Florida. We have a new product called Vacation Counseling. And if you are thinking about this summer coming up and you're struggling and you want a vacation, but you also want to be able to work on your marriage and that kind of stuff, think about going on Vacation Counseling. Vacation Counseling is one couple at a time coming down to Southwest Florida. We will provide you with intense therapy, 15 hours for a weekend or 24 hours for a week. And we will have the opportunity to do vacation, to do the boats, to golf, and that kind of stuff. Vacation Counseling is out there for you. Check it out. It's something that we are doing this summer. Check it out on the website. Thank you so much. Okay. So now that we're back, I keep thinking, you kept mentioning 60 days yes. of sex. Yes. And then I'm thinking, you're working, you've got two kids. Yep. And at some point, you've also done these other challenges, the 7 week and 30 days. And then I'm assuming the kids have to get educated.
Luckily, we send them to school for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're not doing homeschooling on top of all that.
Yeah, no,
that would not be
yes,
good for us.
Yes. Before I even ask about the scheduling, why do you guys think sex is important to a marriage?
Wow. Oh my goodness. I think, you know, it actually goes all the way back to most people's wedding vows. You know, in the wedding vows, we talk about to have and to hold our spouses, you know. And so from the very beginning, we talk about the fact that there's going to be this physical intimacy. And ideally, this is a relationship, this is an aspect of the relationship that is only shared between husband and wife. Right. And it's a way to foster closeness. It's a way to have connection like you do with no other person on the planet. And it does, you know, as the emotional works, the physical works, as the physical works, the emotional work, and our bodies, we need that. Mm-hmm. We need to know that we are somebody's one and only. We need to know right. their body intimately. We need to know our own body intimately and how it responds to them, because it is a place of refuge. Sexual intimacy is a place of refuge. It's a place of exploration. It's a place of discovery. Mm-hmm. And so having that be a component of your marriage is so, so critical.
You yeah. said that perfectly.
Yes. Yes.
I agree yes. with that 100%.
Yes. Every once in a while I get to do that. Get them speechless.
Yes. You made all of us speechless. Yes. Yeah. So how do you schedule it? How does a married couple do what you do?
So if we look at scheduling sex, we came out of the 60 days of sex challenge, and that was amazing. We really loved that part of connecting emotionally and sexually. Mm-hmm. And yet we knew that we're not going to be able to have sex every day for the rest of our lives. It's right. just not something that was going to be possible for us, because we felt like it would just take up so much time. We wouldn't really be able to focus on other areas of our lives. And yet we knew it was important. And so we took a month off afterwards. Mm-hmm. That was one thing we did do. We took a month off to go, okay, we need to reassess what we just did and right. where we want to go. So after that, or during that month, we began to talk and think of ideas. And one of the things that we realized, what we did with the 60 days of sex challenge, is that we were scheduling it. Mm-hmm. We made sure it was on our calendar every day. Now, we didn't say, hey, tomorrow is Friday and we're having sex at 10 a.m. and then Saturday's coming around and we're having sex at 5 p.m. And no. It was on the calendar, and we were going to make sure that we were romancing one another. We were going to make sure that each of us were initiating sex. Okay. We were going to make sure that we were going to have that on the calendar at some point in time. Didn't matter if it was at 12:01 a.m. or 11:59 p.m. We were going to have sex anywhere in between. And so what we came up with was what we call the intimacy lifestyle. And Elise and I sat down after doing this and we said, all right, how many times a week do we want to have sex? We were having it anywhere between 5 and 7 times a week during the 60 mm-hmm. days of sex challenge.
Right. Yeah.
What do we see for us in our marriage?
Right.
If we had to pick a number, how many times would we want to have sex? And we had some conversation mm-hmm. and we together came up with 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. Prior to the 60 days sex challenge, I want to just say we were having sex maybe once a month.
Maybe once or twice.
Okay.
Like on an anniversary month.
Right.
Yeah. And one other thing with this too, is that, you know, we all carry our phones with us, right?
Right.
Like it's a thing. And everything that's important, we schedule it.
Exactly.
We schedule. We say, you know what, I'm going to be on this vacation counseling.
Right.
I'm going to be on the vacation counseling trip from, you know, June 15th to June 20th.
Right.
It's on my calendar.
Right.
If we want to get to this place where our calendar actually reflects what's important to us, then we need to put our spouses on the calendar. We need to schedule them as much as we would schedule a trip to Southwest Florida, as much as we'd schedule an appointment with a counselor, as much, you know, taking the kids to the doctor. It has to have the same level of importance.
Yep.
So what happened after we picked two?
So then we picked two, and that was something that we had to come to an agreement on. And, and every couple needs to do that. They need to talk. And that's where we were talking about in the first segment about, you know, the emotional intimacy and opening up about our sex lives and getting real with one another and being okay with, hey, that this is what feels good or this is what doesn't. And so Elisa and I, when we sat down, we said, okay, 2 days a week, that's what we're going to do. But how are we going to really set this up? One of the big things for me as the husband who was always initiating prior to the 60 Days of Sex Challenge, I was pretty much 99% of the time the one who initiated and the one who is either accepted or rejected.
Okay.
And I went to Elisa and I said, if we're doing this, I do not want to be the only one initiated.
Mm-hmm. And so we had to come up with a plan. And so we looked at the week and we said, those 2 days, and we said, how's this going to work? Well, again, we don't put things on concrete, like it's going to be on Tuesday at 10.
Right.
But we looked at the week and said, all right, well, there are 7 days in a week. Let's split this 2 ways. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are the days that Tony has the privilege to initiate. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are the days I have the privilege to initiate. And then Saturday is either a day off or a bonus day.
Okay.
But because we know that, it allows for a lot of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have, you know, like, how can you be creative? Because a lot of people think, oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. If you schedule it, then that takes away the spontaneity, the...
Not at all.
I think
I would venture to ask any couple how often they're having spontaneous sex.
Okay.
And the majority of them will look at you with deer in the headlights, like, can't remember. Like, it doesn't. Spontaneous sex is something that I think we all expect and we dream of, and it's a fantasy type of a deal.
Right.
In actuality, in real life, it really doesn't happen. And when it does, it's very far and few between. So when you're trying to schedule it and you have the intimacy lifestyle, there is more spontaneity because it's like, all right, my 3 days to initiate are Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. One of those 3 days, I'm initiating. There's some romance going on. There's some foreplay going on. There's notes. There's conversations. Things start to build up. And the spontaneity part of it is that in that moment when we get to have sex with one another, it's like, oh my gosh, it just didn't like, oh, out of the wind, it just happened and we're having sex. Sometimes it does. And on the other side though, with Elisa initiating on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, I am no longer the only one having to initiate. I'm not the only one trying to set this whole thing up and then being turned down or accepted. And it really changed the dynamic of our marriage. It really changed how we both approached our sexual intimacy and allowed us to be more spontaneous at times.
Yeah. And so, Lisa, I want to ask you, because I see it in some females, not a lot, but the initiation part, they're like, oh my gosh, they've never initiated sex before ever. So it's like, I didn't even know where to begin. Some of it is from their mothers talking to them back in the day
Because good girls don't do that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And that was a real conversation that Tony and I had to have, because I had very much bought into the idea that I should be pursued and that, you know, that's the way it works. And what I would say to all the female listeners and viewers is that you have to understand that your husbands also want to be pursued. That same thing that we enjoy, it feeds them as well. So learning how you can initiate. I mean, we actually put together a resource for couples, you know, on ways to initiate, because many women have never had that conversation with a wife, a mother, a sister, a friend or whatever. I'm like, how do you do this?
Right.
And so we put together a list. We just said, you know what? We're just going to come up with ideas. You make it your own. But one of the key things when it comes to initiating is that you have to have a conversation with your spouse that says, if I do this, I'm initiating, because the challenge that a lot of women have is that they might actually be initiating, but they're so subtle,
right,
that their husbands don't know. He doesn't respond. She feels rejected.
Right. Exactly.
And can't understand why he's upset or why she's upset. And he's like, I didn't know.
Here's an example. When we were newly married, I thought initiation, especially from Elisa's standpoint, would be like, she would always come out in like lingerie, you know, high heels, like, and swing it on a chandelier. Like, really, like, let's go. That's the way I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
In all honesty, Dr. April. And when we started learning more about what our initiation looks like,
right,
I was floored when Elisa goes, hey, you don't know this, so let me share. But when I'm like rubbing your forearm, I'm initiating. Like, it was so subtle. I would have never, I thought she was just rubbing my forearm.
Right. Like, yes.
Great, you're rubbing my forearm. Thank you very much. Yes. But for her, that is how she initiates. And so I have to honor that and go,
exactly.
Oh, I got it. Had we not talked about it, had I not honored it, we never would have been able to get to a point of being able to like, okay, she's initiating. Let's get to the bed. You know what I mean? Like kids are asleep. When the kids were younger, it's like kids are asleep. She's rubbing my forearm. It's like, let's get naked. Let's go. Like,
yes.
We got a time frame here. Little ones are going to wake up. So let's make this happen.
Yeah. So on the flip side of the initiation, there is that, and one of you used the words rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Some couples believe that you don't reject at all. Some people say, well, you know, I'm tired, this and that, I've got this and that. How does that really work? What is your guys' philosophy on rejection?
For us, we have made a decision after the 60 days of sex challenge. We made a decision that our bedroom was really going to be a no rejection zone.
Okay.
And what that means is that because we've got the intimacy lifestyle set up, we know we've got these windows for both of us.
Right.
We are looking, we are communicating, we're evaluating what's going on. We're looking at the calendars. We're getting a read for how the workday went. We're getting a read for what the schedule is. And I'm not going to initiate with Tony on a day where I know he's got back-to-back meetings for 12 hours and is going to be exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd want to say yes, but he'd also feel like he wants to say no. So it actually, because of the intimacy lifestyle, it's given us the opportunity to take that component out and not have rejection.
Okay.
Because we have to be so much more intentional about evaluating what's going on in the entire marriage dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so, because I was always the one rejecting, this was a big learning curve for me.
And we've realized that rejection. Now, let's make sure we lay the line here, though. There's emotional abuse, physical abuse, right, things of that nature. Like, let's make sure we do understand where we're at. Like, we do not put up with that. And I would not tell anybody that you need to have sex going through emotional or physical abuse. No, get out.
Right, exactly.
So for us, though, it really has helped us to grow. Because when and if something like that comes up, it's not a cold shoulder, Dr. April. It's not I have a headache and I'm going to flip over and you can look at my back.
Okay.
It comes back to that emotional
intimacy. That communication. Yes.
We got to open up and go, what's going on? Just this week. And I'll share.
Mm-hmm.
Just this week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, my days. We just had one thing after another. We were coming up to Tuesday. It was 10:30 and I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at Lisa and I'm going, I don't have it. Like, I'm tired. And if I didn't say anything to her, she may have felt like I was rejecting her because I didn't bring anything up. So I said, hey, you know what, honey? I really want to.
Right.
And yet right now I'm tired. I know you're tired. Can we just call this a push? And tomorrow we're going to have some time. So I'm going to make up my days on Wednesday and then we'll let you take your Thursday, Friday. And if you need Saturday as that bonus day, we'll do it. So instead of rejecting and just going, no, I have a headache and I'm going to flip over and I'm not going to talk to you, we had the communication, we discussed it and nobody felt rejected. We came to an agreement. We said, okay, this is where we're at. Let's make it happen tomorrow and we'll move forward.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yes. So you use a terminology that I'm not familiar with, but I think it may be in the intimacy lifestyle you guys do. Mm-hmm. Push.
when you said push it forward.
Oh, push it forward. Just, yes. Yeah, we're just gonna push the.
Is it a concept in the intimacy lifestyle?
It's becoming one, and we're learning it. This is okay. Honestly a place where we're working through one of those areas.
Okay.
Where we haven't been there as much. Our kids are older. We're a lot more active. There's a lot more things happening.
Right.
And so we're really working in that area, and we've had to do it a few times actually recently. So we're navigating it and learning it, and we end up sharing it with the one family as we ourselves go through it.
Yeah. Okay. No marriage ever arrives. You're constantly a work in progress.
Okay. So I'm curious, what is this intimacy lifestyle?
So the intimacy lifestyle really at its core is a game plan for couples to schedule sex. It's looking at, you know, having conversations around how often do we want to have sex,
mm-hmm.
and coming up with an agreeable number for both husband and wife. It is, you know, looking at how are we going to know when someone's initiating and having those conversations. It's, you know, dealing with what if I want to say no. It's putting all of that into an agreement. We actually have an intimacy lifestyle planner on our site where you have all this conversation and then you do it for 30 days, right? You know, try it. Mm-hmm. It's like anything new. You actually have to do it a few times to see what's working, what's not working. I mean, we have couples in the one family that alternate by weeks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, like the odd weeks of the month are his and the even weeks are hers. We've got couples that go every other day and just take turns initiating. You know, it really becomes,
we have couples now that because of the hectic week that they're in,
mm-hmm.
they are taking Saturday and Sunday as their days to schedule sex because they're both home. Kids are still around and all that, but they don't have the pressure of also doing work, maybe church activities, volunteering, sports, and all of that. So one spouse takes Saturday, the spouse takes Sunday, or whatever days they have off. And so it's really, like Elisa said, it's a plan for your sexual intimacy.
Mm.
So the core, that's what it is. And it's putting that as a priority on your calendar so you're making it happen each and every day.
Okay, awesome. Yes. Yeah, so we're going to take a short little commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to hear more tips about scheduling sex. And they've given us a few already. But in this commercial break, I would love for you two to tell us more about what you guys offer the community and how they can find you online and everything.
Yeah. So best place to go, everybody, is oneextraordinarymarriage.com. You'll find everything that we have going on right there. More importantly, if you have any inkling to listen to us more, which I hope you do, go to your podcast app, go to One Extraordinary Marriage Show, hit subscribe or follow wherever you're at. We'd love to have you part of the One Family and hear us each and every week. We drop two episodes each and every week, and we love just sharing, you know, insights that are going on in our lives and those that are happening with the One Family.
Yes, but you guys also have books too.
Oh, yeah.
We do. Yes. On the site, we have, you know, all of our books. We've written 5 books over the last 10 years. We have all of our resources like the Intimacy Lifestyle Planner. And I also do coaching for couples and individuals as well. So those are all, you know, when somebody gets plugged into One Extraordinary Marriage, they're not just getting plugged into a podcast. They're actually getting plugged into a marriage movement that is changing the way that people do marriage around the world.
Wow. Yes. Well, thank you so much for what you guys are providing and how you're, like you said, you're changing it. Yes. So as we're wrapping up on the last part of our segment, and I know you've given some tips already on how to schedule sex. One thing that I know a lot of couples struggle with is kids. How do you schedule sex when you have little ones? Sometimes little ones in the bed.
Yes.
And how do you schedule it on the other end when you have, you know, teenagers and they're going, you know, driving you.
Yes.
Nuts.
We started all of this, like I said, when our kids were 2 and 5, and now we're at 17 and 14. So we span that whole spectrum. And, you know, the reality is, I think it's actually easier when they're little in some respects. First of all, parents, get a lock for your bedroom door.
Yep.
It is okay. It is okay for your children to have to knock on the door.
Yes.
And it gives you the peace of mind of knowing that no one is going to walk in.
Right.
So you can do that. Secondly, get yourself some kind of sound machine for your bedroom.
That's what I was going to say. Yes.
Yeah.
I love, we have one called the Sound and Sleep Machine. And it's just wonderful to just have that on. Mm-hmm. It just gives you that noise, that white noise, to help you to just know that, hey, your kids aren't, you know, heads up against the door or something. But, you know, most kids aren't going to do that anyways. They're going to come and they're going to knock. And it's all good. I like that. You know, take it outside of your bed. Mm-hmm. Have sex in the shower, especially when they're younger or older. You know, take it outside of your bedroom. You know, take those opportunities when you're away or they're away at school. If they're in school, you know, find those times when you can rendezvous together. If it's, hey, you're both, you know, have a lunch break at a certain time, can you guys run home together and see each other there? Kids are at school.
I was also going to say, especially when they're little, it's okay to have sex while your kids are taking a nap, mm-hmm. right? Like the laundry, the dishes, all of the errands will still be there.
Right.
But it's so much, it's so critical that parents of young children keep their sexual intimacy alive, mm-hmm. because long-term that will mean more than any clean, you know, pair of socks, any clean dish, any clean anything, because kids ultimately want their parents together.
Exactly.
And making each other a priority when the kids are little is the number one thing that you can do to give your kids a legacy of the two of you being together. So that's when they're little.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When they're teenagers.
Don't freak out. I would say don't freak out if they know you're having sex.
No.
In fact, your kids should know you're having sex. It's a tremendous opportunity. I'm like, you don't have to go into details.
Right.
Have those conversations.
But have those conversations. Make it safe for your teenagers to talk to you about sex. Mm-hmm. That's they're being exposed to it, whether you want to face it or not.
Right. And
you need to be their first line of defense, mm-hmm. their first line of instruction, because we've got two teenagers. We know a lot of what they're being exposed to because they share it with us. But we've, as a society, we've got to step into this place where we're educating our kids about sex. It's got to happen. Right. And if they know, it's okay. They may be grossed out, but they're still going to be like, okay, you know, my parents are good. They're having sex.
Right. So. Exactly.
And again, lock the door, because you also don't need the teenagers walking in.
Which they will try and do as well. And so there are times when you're just like, hey, what's happening? And what do you need? Let's get going and move on. See you later.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. What advice? Also, there's some couples, especially sometimes females, who feel like they're getting nothing out of sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That really, I think, goes to that may be a couple that needs help.
Right.
Because if she's not getting anything out of sex, there could be other things that are going on. There may be pornography in the marriage. There may have been infidelity in the past. There may be, you know, emotional traumas.
Sexual abuse when they're younger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Emotional traumas. Yep. Yeah.
You know, and so if there's a dynamic where she doesn't feel like she's getting something, then that needs to be explored. That was never the design for sex, that it would only be for one partner and not
exactly.
For both.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage
I would say, though, too, exploring your own body, both male and female, knowing what feels good and delights you in that moment. I think for Elisa and I, when we really started learning and really diving into the intimacy lifestyle, this is the beauty of the intimacy lifestyle, is that you're having sex more than once or twice a month. So you're exploring each other's body a lot more. And with more opportunity, you have more ability to learn what's working and what's not. And so Elisa and I had to go through that journey of what feels good for you.
Right.
You got to share that with one another. Mm-hmm. So I think part of that is just the self-exploration of understanding, where does it feel good for your husband to touch you so that he can give you an orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know, he's not going to be able to. Yeah.
Exactly.
Elisa had to, honestly, there are times where Elisa would take my hand, she'd be like, right there. Just rub. I'm like, oh, got it. You know, too hard. It's not too fast. It's too slow. Okay. So there's a rhythm of learning. And I think through that, we both, and I think you even yourself, you began to enjoy sex much more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, Tony brings up a good point there, that if your spouse offers any type of correction within the act, don't take that as, oh, well, you know, they must just think I'm, no, like they want to enjoy it and they want you to get it right. So that's not a bad thing.
Right, okay.
It's a win for everybody. Don't take it personally. Yes. And if the two of you want to like getting to that place where you get more comfortable talking about sex, do it outside of your bedroom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We tell couples all, there's way too much sexual energy all wrapped up in, you know, your pillows and your blankets and all that kind of stuff. Get out, go for a walk, go to the park, go to the beach. Talk about it there where it's neutral and that you can just actually have a conversation. It doesn't have to. So you don't have to talk about sex in bed all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And that brings up a great thing because you're mentioning sometimes when people think that they talk about sex, that means their partner's going to want sex right then and there. Mm-hmm. So if you, like you said, if you take it outside of the bedroom and talk about it at dinner or whatever the case may be, it relieves that.
It relieves that stress of like, oh man, now we have to have sex because we're talking about some of the best conversations that Lisa and I have had about sex are just driving down the coast.
Right.
You know, we have our 19 questions to amazing sex. We pull it out and we start answering them. All right, well, what is this? What is that? How do you feel about this? Do you want to do that? What about this? And it's just great conversation and we get to learn and we're actually getting excited and it's like, oh, okay, well, let's make sure we pick up some new oils or let's make sure we pick up a diffuser or what would make our bedroom this place of romance? Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Like I didn't realize for myself even that I love smell, the olfactory of just different scents for me drive that passion. Mm-hmm. And just from talking to one another and being willing to try diffusers and different oils, to me, it just heightens that time together. And we didn't do that for many, many years. But it came out of just a conversation while we were driving because we had our 19 questions to amazing sex. And I happened to just say something and Lisa's like, what? Let's go deeper into that a little bit. Like, I didn't know that. All right. So we jump on Amazon, have something delivered the next day and we try it out.
Yes. And you brought up a great point about the romance, how important that is for each person.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, romance is so important and it's how we win our spouses. In the first place, right? We spend all of this, you know, the courtship and the dating, romancing them. There's flowers, there's conversations, they're doing things. And then for so many couples, it seems like, you know, the wedding comes, the mortgage comes, the kids come, and romance hits a brick wall.
Yeah.
Right.
Romance is probably, you know, 100 times more important after the I do than it ever was before the I do, because he or she still needs to know you're my person. You're the one. I'd say I do to you all over again. And so it's so key, Dr. April, that people find out how to romance their spouse now instead of just thinking, well, you know what? You liked flowers when we were dating. Well, you know, maybe now because
it does change.
Yes.
As we get older, we change, even in the sense of what we like sexually, all over everything changes.
Absolutely.
Yes. We tell folks all the time, Elisa and I met when I was 21, she was 19. We were married at 23 and 22. I'm 46 now and she's 45.
Right.
There's a lot of life and there's a lot that's changed over those times. Mm-hmm. And if I was still the Tony of a 23-year-old when I got married, then I haven't grown. Like,
exactly.
But I have. And so what does that look like in that process of us just getting older? And we're still walking it out. We're going to continue to walk it out. We're going to continue to share.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as you get older, you need more romance.
Yeah.
Yes. And working with young couples or couples who just got married in some years or whatever, it's sometimes that adjustment that of it just can't be a quickie, the romance. And romance, sometimes it's even someone else doing someone's chores or helping them with the dishes or getting the kids to bed. I mean, that is.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Helping to take something off someone's plate.
Right. And that's where those conversations come in. You know, how can I romance you now?
Right.
You know, romance to Tony when we first met. I mean, like, I remember, you know, midnight dinners at Taco Bell. I don't know, you call it dinner, midnight snack at Taco Bell. Now I can't even like wrap my head one about being up at midnight and two doing Taco Bell at midnight.
Yes.
But back then I thought it was the sweetest thing that we would just go run and do this. Mm-hmm. And so having those comments, like, how can I romance you? Ask the question. It is okay. And if you're on the receiving end of that question, answer it truthfully and honestly so that you can set both of yourselves up for success.
And I remember actually when the kids were younger, even to this day, I remember Elisa saying something to the extent like, you put the dishes away or like you get all the dinner stuff taken care of. Like I'm on. Like, it's game on. And yes. Like, oh, wow, really? Like, that really is going to excite you? Yes, because I don't have to think about it. And
yeah, right.
Even to this day, you know, sometimes I'm just walking around. I'm looking at the kitchen. I'm like, wow, we need to get that cleaned up. And my first thought is, like, why isn't Elisa doing it? And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I've added to this. Kids have added to this. Let me go get the kids. Let me get on it. She doesn't need to take it on herself. It's okay. We get it done and we move on. You know what I mean? And it just wipes that off her plate.
Right. It's a team effort, which is great. Yes. And we've been talking a lot about communicating and talking about sex. And I think, like you mentioned earlier, it really starts with your kids. Because as adults, if you really haven't talked about sex and then you're in a marriage and then you're like, oh, my gosh, I can talk about everything else, but I can't talk about that. I think it's really important. I'm just going to mention this, is to educate our kids about intimacy in a marriage and talking about it and having them comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Well, and it sets the stage. It's, you know, right. We're pouring into the next generation, and we're you know, creating an opportunity to avoid a lot of these pitfalls.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, in the sense of intimacy, what are the things that happens after you schedule sex and you start doing all these things? What are some of the benefits that you guys have seen over the years of just making it?
Well, you know, interestingly enough that you asked that question, because we just recently recorded a podcast where we were talking about desire.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that we had adopted and identified with early on in our marriage was this idea of, well, you're the high desire spouse and you're the low desire spouse. And we struggled with that. Mm-hmm. And what we realized as we were recording the show is that, you know, getting to this place where we're so intentional about our sex life, we don't sit under those labels anymore. Mm-hmm. We found more unity. And so we work together. It's not a tug of war. Sex is no longer a tug of war in our marriage. We're no longer dealing with, well, you want it and you don't, and I got to give it to you. And I, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's now, no, this is something that's special.
Right.
And it's something that is valuable to us. And I think just that mindset shift of, you know what, sex is not an obligation for me anymore. It's not like I spent many, many years thinking I just got to do this so he's happy. I've got to do this so he'll leave me alone.
Right. And that's what the culture told you. Yeah,
absolutely. And now it's like, no, I get the privilege of having sex with him. And by the way, I do enjoy an orgasm. So it's a win for me too.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
benefits for me, I just feel like we're having sex. So benefit is quantity.
Which was a big, yeah.
And I'm going to say though, with quantity came quality. So the benefit was we're having more, which is satisfying. And at the same time, the quality of it went up. Hey, and there are still times to this day where we do quickies. And I mean, we're done in 3 to 5 minutes. And there are times when it's long and it's a long lovemaking, but it's all okay because both of those work hand in hand. Quantity, quality, and we just continue to learn. So benefits for me is also not this... like Elisa said, I agree, the tug of war. Mm-hmm. There is no tug of war anymore. It's on our calendar. We honor one another. We honor our agreement. And it allows us to continue to enjoy that part of our marriage.
Yes. You said the word recently, and you said it earlier, the word honor.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a word and something that we've lost in our society.
Yes. Yeah.
And those that we honor, we respect. And those that we respect, we honor. And I think that goes both ways. I think it goes both husband and wife. So honor is just such a high regard. You have such a high regard for somebody. And I do. I have that for her. And I believe it goes, it comes back as well. And so I think if we have a place of honor in our marriages, a lot of the struggles of, oh, well, you don't do this or you don't do that would hopefully diminish, because we truly do see that we're in this together. And we honor our commitments, right? We honor what we said on our wedding day. And I think when we stood up there, it's such a quick moment. And so many of us forget about what we said in those words. And so I tried to remind myself what was said 23 years ago to Elisa, and am I honoring those vows that I did say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, it's just one that's been really percolating in my spirit recently.
Okay, awesome. Yes, and I love hearing that word. And I've sat through a lot of couples counseling. And you're right that sometimes there are people who are very committed to a lot of things. They're committed to their work and to their kids mm-hmm. and all that. And they'll show up to everything. But then to the intimacy part of their life, it's not there.
Right. And that's where the struggle comes.
Yes.
Making a decision to do that.
Yes, yes. And so what you guys have been talking about is how you guys over the years have had this collaborative, created collaborative environment situation. Yes. Where you both feel safe to just honor each other and be respectful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And be able to be authentic.
Yes. Great word.
Yeah. We had to cultivate that. Is it perfect every time, Dr. April? Nope. Right. And yet divorce is off the table. We're not going to go there. And so it's taken the time though, to be willing to work with others when we've needed help. And even just to talk to one another and just go, where are we at? Things happen. And it, just because we have an argument and we've had our arguments, believe me, just because we have the intimacy lifestyle going on doesn't mean we don't have our own arguments and our own frustrations and our own, hey, this is what I see. And yet we just go, hey, you know what? We're going to keep pushing forward. We're on the same team. If there's a problem, we may see them differently, but at the end of the day, we're on that team together. We're going to hold hands together. We're going to be shoulder to shoulder together, and we're going to attack that problem.
Yes. And so through you guys putting in all that time and effort, and your business was still successful, right? Because some people are like, oh my gosh, you know, if I do all this, then I'm going to lose all my customers because I can't do this and that.
No.
More often than not, and we've seen this in countless couples in the one family, that when the marriage relationship is working well, when this is going well, mm-hmm. you operate out of a place of abundance because you're not worried about what's happening at home. So you actually have more to give to your employer, to your company, or to your kids, or to whatever, because you're not worried about the most intimate relationship that you have. And so you're not going to lose things. You're actually going to add to it and gain.
Right, right. Because you're focusing on love. Mm-hmm. And spiritually and psychologically, that can make through any boundaries or whatever. It does make you much more, like you said, open, much more aware, have much more energy.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like you said, just focusing on the love. Mm-hmm. Which you two have just done and have just been fabulous. And you've written so many books. One of the books that I was looking at was the 13 Keys to Unlocking Intimacy in Your Marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have it right here. You want us to show it to everybody?
Okay. Yes.
So there we go. Yep. It's called Strip Down, 13 Keys to Unlocking Intimacy in Your Marriage. Yep.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Cause I have it here also. I should have.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So that was actually the very, very first book that we ever wrote together.
Okay.
And it really came out of all the insights that Tony and I had when we were doing the 60 Days of Sex Challenge. It was the rediscovery, or initial discovery of all of those different forms of intimacy. It was looking at different areas that maybe couples overlook. You know, what does your bedroom look like? Are you getting dressed up for day nights? And it was a book that we very intentionally wrote in a he said, she said format so that every chapter you get thoughts from Tony, thoughts from Elisa. And what we've learned over the years as we talk to people who have read the book is that often couples will pick it up and the husband will read all of the parts where it says Tony says, and the wife will read all the...
No. The husband will read what Elisa says in the wife.
No. They read it. They read it their own voice, but it allows them to talk.
Oh, I thought they would read it. Okay.
So the husbands read Tony's parts and the wife reads Elisa's parts. And in doing so, it actually gives them the ability to speak those things that maybe they couldn't bring up on their own, but because they're reading it and they're like, well, Tony said, that it gives them permission to break through in any of those areas. So it's been a book that's had a lot of breakthrough.
But then on the other side of it, the wife can read what I'm saying and the husband can read what you're saying to get a better understanding of what's going on in the male brain and the female brain.
Correct.
But that's what I was saying.
Awesome. Yes.
It's
And he just showed how he honored you. Yes. Yes. He was like, oh, okay. Yes. That was a great demonstration.
Right there. Yeah.
It is.
So it's been a really neat book to see impact people's lives over the last Oh my gosh, that was the first one that came out.
And, so. Yeah, and the last one, do you have a copy? Do you have a picture of the last one, or what's your last book or your latest?
So then we did 7 Days of Sex Challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, we had to write a book on that. Everybody was asking about that one. Connect Like You Did When You First Met, 101 Proven Questions for Couples. Okay. Because again, that's that emotional intimacy. What do we talk about?
Right. Work,
laundry, kids, like, let's help you along there. We wrote a book called The Trust Factor.
Okay.
So really helping, because trust gets broken. And Elise and I both broke each other's trust, and we had to rebuild that trust. Right. And what does that look like? And the most recent book called The Love.
Actually, 7 Days went into a second edition.
So that was the last book. Yeah. And then another book was called The Love. Elisa wrote that one.
A devotional. Yeah. 40-day devotional. So we cover it all with our resources, because we know that marriage is not just one dimensional, even though we spend a lot of time talking about sex. It's not the only thing in a marriage, but it is a key area.
Right. Wow. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. If for other people out there listening out there, can you let us know again how we can contact you guys?
Yep. Go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com. If you'd like to join us on social media, Instagram, love to have you there at One Extraordinary Marriage. Facebook, you can look us up at One Extraordinary Marriage. And then also any podcast app, just look up One Extraordinary Marriage Show. You'll find us, follow us, subscribe. You'll get us in your ears twice a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing with us your One Extraordinary Marriage yourself. And thank you so much for being on the show. And this has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show. And I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks, everyone.